Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate you all for tuning into the show. Today is Sunday, April 22nd, 2018. I'm Scott Lohman. Here today is Hertzie Hertz and Grant Haas. Today we are going to talk about the organization Focus on the Family. Be sure to stay tuned to the American Atheist Viewpoint in the fourth segment of the hour. We welcome listener interaction during our live show with your phone calls to 952-946-6205 or your emails to radio@mnatheist.org. The views of the interviewers and the guests are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of Minnesota atheists. Focus on the Family is a big deal in the religious world. Grant Haas worked there, and today he's going to tell us about his experiences and leaving the organization. You can find the links and program archives on the Minnesota Atheists website. Hertzie and Grant, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning.
All right, so let's start actually a little bit before you joined with Focus on the Family and such. I was doing some Googling on you. I stalked you just a little. And according to your blog, you grew up in Worthington, Minnesota, which looks like it's down by the Iowa border, and accepted Christ at about 8 years old. So were you raised in like a very evangelical household?
Yeah, I would say from the time before I could even read or write, I was totally surrounded by religious imagery and just immersed in this culture where every time you got an opportunity to go to church, you go to church Wednesday night, Sunday night, all the time.
That's so a lot of church.
It was a lot, and it was really ingrained in who I was. And later that would have a conflict with me.
Yeah. And so I've heard from many atheists, like they had doubts growing up and such. Was that the case with you or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I always thought that there was going to be a bigger plan, that whatever I faced or struggled with, that God would be able to use it to, it was always, there was a reason for everything that happened.
Yeah, I was one of those. I didn't have a whole lot of doubt either until much later. So I hear about the people. It's like, oh, yeah, when I was 6 years old, I was asking questions. I was like, no.
Yeah, no. It wasn't until like my late 20s when I started reading like Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins, and really began to think critically about what I was doing.
Absolutely. And then according to your blog, it was about 12 that you started to realize that you were gay, correct?
Yeah.
All right. And after high school, you did some community college, and then you decided to go and become a pastor. What drove that decision?
Mainly probably my youth pastor and my family. I wanted to like be a teacher initially, and they're like, well, why don't you just become a pastor? Because that would make more sense. Because this way you could, you know, serve the Lord. And then inside of me, I'm thinking, well, maybe if I become a pastor, that'll cure me of my homosexuality. Like, that was always the hope.
So did they kind of look down on teaching then?
I don't think they did. They just thought it would be a better fit because I was so active in the church. I thought I was kind of a loner in high school, and I found like that was a place where I could get power and acceptance was in the church.
And so you attended Focus on the Family Institute starting at about 19, moving to Colorado Springs. And before we go into the Focus on the Family, as a Minnesotan, I have to ask, and you're a fellow Minnesotan, so you understand this, how's the weather?
It's a lot calmer, but you can use your heater and your air conditioner all in the same day.
That's insane.
It can be, you know, snowing in the morning and then 74 degrees in the afternoon, and the weather, mountain weather, it's nice though.
All right, so Focus on the Family Institute, you went there for classes, so was it kind of like a college-ish kind of thing?
So yeah, I went to Moody Bible Institute for a while, and Focus on the Family Institute was like a place that you could go for a semester, and it was accredited through Colorado Christian University, I believe. So still got college credits for it, and initially I was able to use those towards my degree. but it was definitely a very interesting experience, like working there and, you know, growing up in a Christian home and being surrounded by the church my whole life. This was like a big opportunity for me, I felt.
Okay, so the Moody Bible Institute and Focus on the Family was kind of at the same time.
Yeah, so like it was Moody, Focus on the Family, and then I went back to Moody, you know, to continue.
Okay, so some of these next questions might kind of have to do with Moody and more. So
was Moody in Chicago?
I did online for the first year, and then, you know, I didn't pay attention in high school, so it was a chance to get my grades up.
There you go. Yeah. Since you're paying a little more attention finally at this point. Yes, I know how that goes.
I was going to say, when my college did, I did not pay much attention. I bombed. So what did the classes focus on, both at Moody and Focus, I guess?
Just a lot of indoctrination. You know, there wasn't really writing or math. It was, you know,
was there
New
science?
Testament, Old Testament. There was not science, actually.
Not surprised.
I don't know how that they got around that, but they did. You'd have to, I don't know if you know what a CLEP test is. You'd have to, like, CLEP out of math. It's like a test you take for college credit. It's like a two-hour test, and if, as long as you know the basic math skills, you can get 3 math credits, like a 100-level math.
Okay. And you did say that it was accredited, so when you were finished, you were going to be fully accredited and the credits would transfer and all that fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And out of morbid curiosity, what was the worst class?
Oh, probably there's this one where this couple taught, like, marriage, and, like, all they did was just yak about their own marriage and their marital struggles, and, like, I guess it was okay, like, it prepared you to counsel people, but for me, it was kind of boring.
And follow-up question, what was the best class? If there was one. Sounds like it was a very blasé place.
It really was. I don't think there was a best class there. Probably just hanging out with the students, some of the students.
All right. And specifically when you worked with Focus on the Family, you worked in their radio station, right?
I was doing some production. I was working with the production team, and I was able to produce some clips.
All right. And then you had, I'm looking at a note that you put in, that you produced silly things to scare people into protecting their kids. Like, what kind of stuff were you protecting them from?
You know, reality TV, American Idol. This was like the second season when I did this, you know, don't watch American Idol, Survivor, you know, what can it do to your child's brain? How does it influence? And it was just everything, like you were talking like Dungeons and Dragons, of course, like that we would produce something about it and it would air and parents would listen to it and they'd be scared then. Or Harry Potter. I can't let my kids read Harry Potter. They're going to burn in hell.
What was the best argument against Harry Potter?
Just witchcraft. It's just say the word witchcraft. People freak out.
Oh, I know. It's so sad. Can you tell us, maybe a funny story that happened before we go into some of the heavier stuff? Or was it, just a super business place, like there was no fun?
There really wasn't that much fun. It's just, it was, like, if you were laughing, people, like, when people would walk by that worked there, there'd always just be the scowl on their face. And, two, that could have been, like, the organization was kind of going under. Mm. Like, a lot of their donors were literally dying. You know, that's where their money was coming from.
Coming from the old scared people.
Was it kind of during the transition when Dobson was sort of being forced out?
He was on his way out at this point.
Okay.
And they were looking for a new
Do you know head. Why he was forced out of morbid curiosity?
Just, he was aging. I mean, he was an old guy.
Aging, and there were some things about succession politics, as far as I'm aware of, on that, in which case he wanted his son to be taken over. And there was the dubiousness of James Dobson's son of Focus on the Family having being a divorcee. And there was issues with that on that part. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting when you start digging into that. It makes other people's politics like, you guys are really silly about this.
I know. I'm like looking going, I am a divorcee. What the heck is wrong with this?
Well, in the religious world, especially when you have focus on the family and they talk about marriage like all the time, the fact that you decided to punt on yours makes you inferior.
That had to be interesting.
There was a lot of wealth there. I mean, there was just an enormous amount of luxury, especially if you were an executive there, if you were the president. You kind of had like a personal spending account almost, you know?
So the president had like his own office with like really nice furniture and stuff?
Yeah, like James Dobson. Like the executives had their own like section of the build. This is a huge campus. I don't know if you've ever Googled it. It's
admittedly just, I have not.
I'm like trying to think of what I can even compare it
kind to. Kind of like a college campus, maybe?
Like a college campus.
Or like a business campus where you have like several buildings.
It was several buildings.
Wow.
I mean, I think they had thousands of people working there. But if you're an executive, there was like everybody had a badge, and your badge could only get you in certain sections. But if you're an executive, you got into a lounge pretty much.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was going to say, hey, Eric, do you think we can get a lounge?
Overlooking Pike's Peak.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Awesome.
Okay,
awesome.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening. This is Atheist Talk on AIM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more discussion.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, Manufacturing Perpetual War, the government versus anarchists and you, grooming kids for corporate servitude, debt, deficits, and Medicare for all this and more on The Zero Hour, every Sunday night from 9 till midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee, and I have a show on AM 950 Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 o'clock. It's a free-form hour of news, interviews, and your phone calls. We don't do 10-second sound bites and yelling and screaming about issues. That may make for great entertainment, but it really doesn't help to solve the real problems we face. We try to get the whole story and have an intelligent discussion. We also occasionally have a little fun. Listen in from 4 to 5 o'clock on AM 950 Radio.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from. It's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Well, Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Scott Lohman. If you have a comment or a question, please call us at 952-946-6205 or send an email to radio at mnatheist.org. Today we're talking about Focus on the Family with Grant Haas and Hertzie Hertz. Welcome back to Atheist Talk.
Thank you, Scott. All right, so when we left off, we were kind of talking about, you know, we were poking some fun questions about this, but it does actually get serious from here. Because during your schooling and during working with Focus on the Family, you were still struggling with your feeling with being gay in this evangelical setting.
Yeah.
And at some point, obviously, they found out. Can you share the story of what happens there?
Yeah. So, you know, I was still believing in God, and I'm like, you know, I want to fix this. Can I fix this? So I went and talked to one of the faculty members there and told them what was going on, like how it was feeling. And so at the time, there was this guy named Mike Haley. He headed up like this department that dealt with homosexual issues and homosexuality in the media. And he met with me and he said, well, let's put you into counseling. So now I'm doing conversion therapy counseling. And then of course they're like, well, you should tell your parents. And it just began to snowball now. So I told my parents. That obviously didn't go well. I was only 19, and you know, yeah, it was really hard. And they're telling me, oh, I can change. So that summer I went to this conference, which was just a bunch of gay people trying to be straight down in Orlando, Florida. And, it was called Love One Out, and it's love, like one, W-O-N, which you pointed out earlier, out. And it's this program, and it was like a bunch of books about how you can, you know, kind of overcome homosexuality. And, you know, I was watching John Oliver. He does a whole segment about, you know, how Focus on the Family a couple weeks ago when he was talking about Mike Pence, a whole section about Focus on the Family just still offering these types of materials even today, you know, oh, your loved one is gay. Here's what you can do, and here's support for you. Like, it's a big burden for you. And I think that's where, you know, they make money off that, too. It's because they're driving that fear that, you know, this person's different than me, so I'm going to really just kind of put them in the spotlight.
Yeah, basically kind of push them into a certain box, I guess might be a way to put it too.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And then, so the conference itself, like, have you been to like some of the atheist conferences and stuff like that, or?
Not really, no.
Okay. So did they have like panels and things and speakers? I'm guessing they had speakers.
Yeah, it was just a lot of speakers, a lot of people who, oh, I'm not gay anymore. Like there was this, it intertwined into this Exodus International Ministries, which I believe is closed down now.
Yes, it is.
And a lot of, like the guy at Focus on the Family who was in charge of this gay department, I don't know what to call it, really.
I was going
to
say, that sounds fair. That's fair.
He was caught in a gay bar. I'm not sure if the next guy was ever caught, but a lot of these guys, they're getting caught. I mean, a lot of the people in the homosexual community know that these people are persecuting them, so when they see him at a gay bar, hey, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Polk, who was part of that, was featured on the cover of Newsweek magazine with his new wife, and then he was caught in a gay bar by a gay activist and got pictures of knowing, and that was what did his downfall. He is now finally divorced and come back out as gay. on that. His wife is of course active in the dead enders, as we want to call them, of the anti-gay movement. And so she's still quite active in that, even though Exodus is shut down. And the fact that California just voted to ban conversion therapy statewide.
Woo-hoo. So. Minnesota needs to get their button gear on that, because we still have Bachman. Ugh.
Well, yeah, there's Marcus Bachman around with his counseling stuff that's not regulated, because they fall into an area it's not, and they do say that they can try and de-gay you.
And for them saying that they're focused on the family, they're actually tearing families apart with this conversion therapy, because they're looking to blame someone for why you turn. And it's usually the father. So, oh, your dad didn't spend enough time with you. He didn't play sports with you enough. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. And that's actually tearing, you know, the family apart. Like, what parents don't want to get divorced now? Oh, you made the son gay.
Yeah.
So it's really sad. And
then I think there's also, yeah, I was going to say, I did some looking, and it's like also having like a dominating mom also would turn you gay, I guess. I don't know.
Yep. That was the opposite. Like, oh, you bonded too much with your mother, so now you're more effeminate, which being gay doesn't necessarily mean you're effeminate.
No, it sounds like they really want those very strict gender roles.
They do.
Oh, yeah, they're very much, it's the general thing that just freaks them out, especially when it comes to women's rights on that. When you look at how they approach that, especially now dealing with the trans issues, it's gender definition, gender role definition is what they're all about. Men have to behave a certain way, and women have to behave a different way.
They do realize that all of that is society constructs, right?
No, they don't grasp that at all, Hersey. No. They think it's actual reality. If you start listening to them, you're going to say, you know, they're saying, men are always this way and women are always this way. It's like, and that's why the roles have to be this way. This is why you can't have women in charge of churches. They can't be teaching because it's bad. They don't have the right equipment. That's what nearest as I can come down to it, beyond it, you know, being the old gender roles. So,
I'm sorry. The right equipment. I was like, no, I've got a microphone and headset. I can still do podcasting.
See, See, that's the whole thing, is we don't come into those definitions the same way they do. And they're just absolutely freaking, because the old white guys up on top part is teetering and they're just freaking. Yeah.
So I'm guessing that them coming to your family and telling your dad and such, it was his fault. I'm guessing that did not help your family with stuff at all.
It made things more tense in my relationship with my family. And, you know, there was just a break in the relationship for the most part.
So now that you're no longer with the organization, have you been able to at least kind of reconcile with your family a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm married now, and they totally accept my husband and love him like they love me. So it's been a long journey. It took a lot of just time and them just learning to be accepting.
And well, that's good.
I'm a person.
We'll go to break. We can talk about that more when we get back. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Robert Burrill here, host of the show Laughing Matters, brought to you as always by Stand Up Records. Check them out online at standuprecords.com. Laughing Matters is now on Saturdays from 7 to 8 p.m., and the show will be pre-taped, which means that I can swear and say words like f- and f- As always, it'll feature some of the funniest comedians in the Twin Cities talking about the latest news and current events, and it's an hour of nonstop laughs you won't want to miss. And it's only on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Is it time to downsize, but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheists Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 61. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 36. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 67. And Monday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 44. Tuesday will be cloudy with a high near 59 and a low around 35. One myth about solar is that it's too expensive and you need a lot of money down. Truth, solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for your solar, it might even put money away on a monthly basis. So visit allenergysolar.com and you could start saving today.
There are things that are big in the religious world. James Dobson formed Focus on the Family in the 1970s. The organization was one of the biggest influence on part of the religious right. Grant Haas worked there and is talking about his experiences while working for Focus on the Family. Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. If you have a question or a comment, please call us at 952-946-6205 or email at radio@matheist.org. I'm Scott Lohman. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant. If you would like to advertise in this program, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. The radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of listeners. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so on our radio fund page. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. We want to thank Cindy and August, who are monthly sustaining donors, and Mark, who made an annual donation. And we have a new Patreon donor, Deborah. Our music is composed by member Brent Michael Davids. Check the schedule for book clubs, discussion groups, pub crawls, movie nights, and other gatherings throughout the year, as well as sign up for meetups, listen to podcasts of previous programs, subscribe to Atheist Weekly email, and all become a member, all at mnatheist.org. And also, we want to add that Steve Peterson and Heather, the president of Minnesota Atheists, are going to be guests on the Mike McEntee program here on KTNF on Monday afternoon. They're going to be talking about the Day of Reason coming up. That's always done in May in conjunction with to sort of counter the National Day of Prayer.
Yes, and, May 3rd.
Yeah, so that'll be May 3rd, but tomorrow that'll be on Mike McEntee's show. So you can tune in and hear more about that. And then Grant and Hertzey. Welcome back to Atheist Talk.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for reminding me. I'm actually going to be speaking at the Day of Reason, so I have to actually write my speech. Just a 2-minute of hi, we're here, I think. Steve, you might want to double-check me on that. So Steve Peterson, he does like a ton of stuff just with the Minnesota Atheist Organization, and he's awesome for it. But let's get back to Focus on the Family. So you said that the buildings and such, it was like a big campus and such. Was it easy then to kind of get lost in the shuffle there?
I would think so.
I know you kind of, it sounded like you maybe interned like just for a little bit.
Yeah, I only interned for a few months and did a few production, reality TV shows, stuff like that. But yeah, it was easy to get pretty much overlooked, and it was a lot of people. It was kind of like high school, probably any other company. You just want to get to the top, and you can say you're doing it for God. So
was that kind of like a thing where people like they kept saying they're doing it for God, and you're just looking at it going, I don't think so.
I think they thought that they were doing. I mean, I think they've deceived themselves to the point where there's just no point in having a discussion with some of these people. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're very much about, we were talking about before the show, like Adventures in Odyssey, which is a radio program that they produce for children. And it was a big moneymaker for them. And it's like, you don't really realize the amount of resources that they have from private donors. Which would be interesting. I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out how much is donated. It has to be in the, you know, millions.
And that's going to be challenging now because they've decided to restructure themselves as a church. Mm-hmm. I'm putting in air quotes on that. So they're changing how they sort of fall as an organization, where what information they have to report to the IRS about their mm-hmm. funding. So nonprofit organizations of a certain size have to file a form 990 with the IRS, and that basically talks about your funding, kind of some basics, what you're spending on. It doesn't get into details. You don't have to list like the salaries for the leaders or any of that, but it gets an idea as to what these organizations are spending money on and where they're getting it. And when you change to a church, they don't have to file one of those. Mm. So this organization, which has this huge campus and probably no actual church building, but a large meeting room, mm-hmm. is going to classify as a church like the one down on the street corner, just down the street from you. And that's just nuts.
Yeah. I mean, they do have church services for all employees that we'd have to attend there. And, they'd always have like a big name. Yeah, it was required for the students. Just like at Moody, we were required to go to chapel every day. And if you didn't, you'd get kicked out eventually. But, it was required, and they'd always have, like, these random big names. Like, I was telling her on the way over, Sean Hannity was one of them, and I met Sean Hannity and got his autograph, which is probably met a garbage can by now. I don't know where it is. but these are, like, the kind of influences, and, you know, now Sean Hannity with President Trump, you know, them meeting every day or something.
Yep.
It's been reported.
Yeah.
Kind of shows you where, you know, and when I was working there, Focus on the Family just started another part of their organization, which was kind of like a super PAC, where people could donate money and it would go to the political arena and supporting different candidates.
Yeah, well, the Family Research Council came out of Focus on the Family and then separated.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
So two of the leaders, because I was looking at the Wikipedia for this, two of the leaders specifically of the Love One Out Conference have actually come out and released statements apologizing and renouncing this. And do you think that this could help maybe normalize the whole, stop normalizing the anti-gay conversion therapy?
I think it did play a huge role for those, like Exodus to disband. I'm not sure if the Exodus International still exists, though.
That I'm not sure of. I know that the national organization is gone. Mm-hmm. It disbanded on that because the leader finally said, nobody is converting.
Yeah, because it doesn't work. It's just a wishful thinking for some people, but eventually, in the end, it just causes more psychological harm than it does help anyone.
Absolutely. What was one of the most surprising things that you feel you didn't notice, like in looking back at your time at Moody Institute and the family place thing?
I didn't notice how narrow-minded I was. I really didn't know. It wasn't until I went to the University of Colorado after the whole New Life Church debacle that I really opened my eyes. Like I got a degree in history, and taking those history courses, I'm like, okay, I never knew this. I never knew that, you know, Mexico went to the Pueblo-Colorado border and we just took it one day. Like, I just didn't know these things, you know. Like I said, I didn't pay attention in high school, and I don't even know if it was taught there. It might not have been.
A little bit.
But depends, like, on your high school history class. Yeah.
And, like, taking anthropology courses and all these different things really was an eye-opener of how narrow-minded people were. I remember we had to write a paper about whether women should teach and be preachers. And, like, I wrote, yeah, why not, in my paper, and I got a bad grade for it because that wasn't the correct answer. Like,
remember, we had that discussion in the last segment, Hertzie. Quit looking shocked.
It will never not shock me.
Which is very good, because it is amazing the sexism that still goes on in this country. And it's like 2018. It's like, really, people? We're coming up on the 100th anniversary of the amendment for women to vote.
Well, my favorite argument that people have for that is, well, we gave them that. And I'm like, yeah, but whose idea was it to not let us vote before that? Mm-hmm. You can't have both.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, shoot. I think I ran out of questions.
You know, your time at Moody, because I've been intrigued by what kind of education people get in those type of organizations. So, and you mentioned that it was kind of hard to come up with a very good class, and there was ones that were really bad. Is there just a lot of them that are just sort of there to mainly keep you in that bubble?
Yep. It's like systematic theology 1, systematic theology 2, systematic theology 3. And, you know, in every of these classes, you're being taught, like, the theology behind the Holy Spirit or the theology behind this or that part of Christianity. And then you're also being taught about other religions and how your religion is better. And, yeah, you're really in a bubble. And, like, students there would be like, get out of the Moody bubble. Like, the students, most of the students could tell, but a lot of the students were homeschooled. So this was their first interaction really out of, in a dorm or a public, a classroom setting with just more than them and their parents.
A bigger social setting.
Yeah. So there was a lot of weirdness.
So with the So with the comparative religions, because you also took history and anthropology, is it one of those, like, what they taught with those comparative religions, was it a lot of wrong things, or were they actually relatively on track?
They were relatively on track. Like, okay, this is the difference between us and Catholics. This is the difference between us and, Islam.
Did they say anything about Wiccan? Or
they're just like these are different types of occults. So,
like, first they had to, I just love that they have to group them all together in a cult.
Like Jehovah Witnesses, this is, you know, and this is how you disprove evolution, and these are ways to explain evolution. Like, there's this thing called fiat creationism that, like, God created it to look like it was millions of billions of years old. So just tell that to your church congregation. Tell them that's what it is, and just move on, you know. And it's all about making money at these, you know. You guys know.
Yeah. So, out of morbid curiosity, what was the straw that broke the camel's back that just made you go, you know what, all of this is just not?
I think after many hours of Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins debates with Christian people on YouTube, because I just heard these arguments, and these arguments just blow whoever they were debating away. And it really makes you think. And then my brother, he's becoming a neurosurgeon, and he has a bachelor's in biology. And after he got that bachelor's, he started turning me on to, hey, look at this, look at that, evidence. And that really set me on the course I am on right now. It's, I guess, you know, Christians see nature as, oh, this is all God did it. Whereas if you're not Christian or religious, you see nature as, oh, wow, look at how this evolved from this. Or, you know, my dad's an eye doctor, and he said, I don't see how an eye can evolve. Well, there's a whole bunch of information on how the eye can evolve. You just have to look at it critically.
I was going to say, isn't the evolution of the eye like the thing we're able to track the most?
Yeah, yeah. We know a great deal about that. So
yeah, that's amazing.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being on the program, Grant. It's been fun having you here and listening about your experiences in a bubble that neither Hertzie or I have any clue about. So this is why we're going to keep asking those crazy questions about that. So I want to thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. This show depends on your generous support of our members, sponsors, and donors. Please join us again next Sunday. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at mnatheist.org. The podcast for the show will be on the radio page later today. Stay tuned for American Atheist Viewpoint in the last portion. This has been Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your Atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words, click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello,
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week we're back from our national convention in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and had a really fantastic convention with more than 850 people, including more than 300 people from Oklahoma. This has been one of our larger conventions lately, and is certainly one that was that exceeded our expectations for Oklahoma City. The venue that we were holding the convention at only held about 600 people, and so we actually had to have an overflow room for all the folks who registered a little bit later. We had a great time with keynote speaker Hugh Laurie, just some really fantastic conversation with him and Dave Silverman. We had really fantastic speakers ranging from the Reverend Barry Lynn, former executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, to Brooke Binkowski, the managing editor of Snopes.com, Gavin Grimm, a civil rights activist, Mary Johnson, a former nun with the with Mother Teresa's order. Just some really fantastic speakers with some really compelling stories about a wide range of topics. On top of that, it wasn't just the speakers. I don't think anyone attends American Atheists National Convention solely for the speakers. Certainly, we want to have new and interesting folks up on stage to present topics that have never been heard before, to present new faces, and to fully represent our community. But one of the main reasons that people come to our events is for the community. And that's what I want to talk about this week. One of the things that we really talk about a lot here at American Atheists is how do we provide a support network? How do we help folks who are leaving religion to find the things that they've left behind and the things that kept them in the pews for as long as it did? That's one of the main struggles, is how do you organize people who are suspicious of organized religion? How do you unite people around a common thing other than not believing in God? That's the struggle. That's the question that we have to reconcile, and how the thing that we have to do if we're going to accomplish many of the things that we're setting out to do, especially in the arena of politics and creating an atheist voting bloc, and in normalizing atheism. This is a really key component to what we want to do, is building communities that people want to be a part of. And I think we were very successful with that with our national convention, and creating a group, creating an environment, creating an atmosphere that people felt safe in, and that they felt was about more than just, you know, getting around and talking about not believing in God, which is the sort of stereotype or the caricature that folks in the media like to have about our events, where they'll literally ask me, what do you guys do? Just get around and agree that there is no God? And the answer to that question is no. We talk about much more, and we do much more. So in addition to talking about how we're going to build these communities and giving folks really tangible tools to do that, we put our money where our mouth is. American Atheists donated $7,500 to a food bank in order to package 30,000 meals for less fortunate folks in Oklahoma City. This was done in partnership with a group called the Outreach Project, and we worked for about 2 hours packaging those 30,000 meals, and it was a really inspirational thing for us to do, and something that the folks who stuck around on Sunday evening really had a great time doing. Because it, you know, it had nothing to do with atheism. It had everything to do with making our communities better. And that's the common thread that ties all of our groups and all of us together, is we know that we're the ones that have to make the change. We're the ones who we have to rely on if we want to improve the quality of life in our communities. And so it's something that we really want to stress, and it's something that with our shift toward local activism and with our emphasis on working in small communities to normalize atheism and to build robust affiliates and robust groups to provide community for folks who are leaving religion, it's really a key component in the quest to create these sorts of groups. We're talking a lot about what we're calling our ACEs program, which is four primary areas of focus. that we think every group should at least touch on, because every group that we have that is successful, that that really has a vibrant and thriving community, focuses on these three things. A is for activism, meaning being involved in politics, being involved in the issues of the day in your local community, in your city, in your state, getting active. Those things don't have to be just atheist issues. Anything that people in your group care about, that's an atheist issue. That's an issue that your atheist group should feel free to weigh in on. We're not going to tell you that you have to do X, Y, or Z. We're just going to give you the tools to accomplish those things and to get involved as atheists. Because when you do that, you demonstrate to potential allies for when there are fights about church-state separation issues, you demonstrate that you show up to help them and that you're on their side and that you're willing to help. So that's activism. That's the first thing. The second is community service. This is what I'm talking about with packing meals for folks who are less fortunate, organizing blood drives, doing things in your community to actively improve them, and showing that it's not just churches that have food pantries and not just churches that donate to the hungry or help the homeless. You know, these are things that you don't need religion to do and are a great way to build a community. That's something that many people really like that their church did and miss that when they leave a church. And so demonstrating that we're part of the community and that we're involved in actively making it better is a really powerful statement to make, even if it has nothing to do with atheism. It has everything to do with being a humanist and with improving the lives of our fellows. That's a key component of normalizing atheism. The third piece of the puzzle is education. This is a way of not just improving our community, but improving ourselves. Thinking critically about religion, thinking critically about the things we believe, and just learning more about what it is that we want to focus on and more about the world around us. This is something that churches do not such a great job of, because the education typically is through that lens of propping up the religion. But we want folks to be educated about the world around them. And the last component, and this is really key, is social. We want our groups to be social. We want them to provide a support network. We want them to have fun. This is a really important part of what our national convention is about. It's about having a great time with your fellow atheists. Just for many of the folks who are attending our convention, this is literally the first time that they've ever been in a room with fellow atheists. And the fun and the social side of that is a really key component of making a successful event and making a successful group. These are the resources that we're putting out there for our affiliates. More information about these programs will be available on our website, as well as just how-to guides, because we know that this stuff is not easy, it's not obvious, and people have questions. Nobody trains you how to run an atheist group. So we want to give the folks who are on the ground doing activism, on the ground doing community service, doing education, and creating social circles for atheists, we want them to have the resources they need to be successful. And so that's the focus for us for the next year, and it's something that we really put a priority on for our national convention. That's all the time I have for this week. Thank you, as always, for joining us. For more information about our work, please visit www.atheists.org. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next time.